you know, I'm 33 years in, Rob, but that's how old I am, not how old you are. So that didn't quite work, did it? Excellent. Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to connect with God. So, I want to start off this evening. Have we all had a good day? Have we all treated our mums well, and have we all had good family times and done all the good stuff? Excellent. That is good. It is good. And now we're back together in God's house, in God's family, and that's even more special. Brilliant. So what I want to talk to you about, I'm going to set my timer. What I'm going to talk to you this morning is this evening. I'm going to tell you a little bit back to my childhood. So how many of you guys have ever seen a pair of these? Now, probably not these specific ones, because I've doctored these a little. So these are my two-stripe Adidas tracksuit bottoms, okay? So they're not quite the real thing, but you see, when I was 7 and 8 or 9 or something like that, I used to have two-stripe tracksuit bottoms. And I remember this one time I went with my mum to the market in Emsall, where we used to live, and I came across this sports store, and there in this sports store were some tracksuit bottoms, and they looked just like mine, but these tracksuit bottoms had 3 stripes and they had a proper logo on them, and they were like the holy grail of tracksuit bottoms. They were Adidas tracksuit bottoms. They were real authentic Adidas tracksuit bottoms. Now, I knew that everybody was using these and wearing these, and these must have been the real deal. So I went and asked my mum, and I said, Mum, can I have these pair of real tracksuit bottoms? And she said, yes, and that was it. I'd arrived. I had my real tracksuit bottoms. They were the real deal, not the nearly pair, not the kind of almost real type pair. But for the first time I wore them proud. And I could stand there and think, this is it. Now there's something really special about authenticity, isn't there? There's something really special about having the right stuff, the authentic stuff. How many of you have seen the Michelle Kors handbags that are knocking around, or the Tommy Hilfiger t-shirts? So, yeah, not Michael Kors, yeah, but the knockoffs. So the fake ones. They're not quite the same, are they? They're not quite the authentic stuff that we like. They're not quite the real deal. And then when we have, like, we don't have to then pretend that we have got something that's nearly real. Now, this evening I want to talk about authenticity. Yeah. And how things are much better when we keep things real. So the title for this evening is Authenticity. It says, let's get real. Okay, so you see, I think that Jesus was a big advocate of authenticity, and there's a verse coming up on the screen, and it's Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3, and it's about Jesus kind of called up the Pharisees a little bit about this. I can't read that, so I'm going to turn to it in my good book. If I can't read it, you guys must be struggling.
No, so, 22, mate.
Yeah, I think I might have to make the fonts bigger on these ones going forward. So it said, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything that they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Okay, see, we're called to be people who are real. Yeah. We're called to be people who are authentic. Okay, so we're called to be people that God designed us to be. And I want to spend a few minutes looking at just 3 important areas that I think, really quickly, that where we need to get to and where we need to be in terms of our authenticity and being real. So the first one that I want to look at is, first of all, we need to get real with ourselves. Okay, so recently God's been challenging me a little on this, and he's kind of been putting a few thoughts in my way. I don't know for you, but for me, the one thing I often find is that I try to emulate people. So recently I've been listening to Dwayne White, who goes to for those of you that have been, if you've been to one event, he's been to Leaders Conference, and he's this phenomenally brilliant speaker. He's got a real prophetic message, and I've been listening to a lot of the things on his church on the Bridge online, and I was listening to his sermons, and I'm thinking, wow, amazing, what would it be like to be able to communicate and to preach like that guy? Or we go to like Leaders Conferences and one events, and these amazing speakers are coming up and rocking out, and I just find myself thinking, what do I have to do to achieve that? What do I have to do to be like that? And I find myself thinking, how can I become more like them? How can I, if I shout more, does that mean I'm going to be more like Dwayne White? Because Dwayne White loves to shout, he loves to kind of, I don't know, do his Texan accent and all that kind of stuff. Or maybe maybe I need to make you laugh more. Maybe I need to be a bit of a Jeff Lucas and throw the comedy and the humour in there. And so maybe I need to, sorry guys, maybe I just need to become a little bit more charismatic in what I do. Does anybody else kind of do that? Does anybody else look at other people in life and compare and think, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. But you see, the truth is, that God doesn't want me to be more like Dwayne White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The truth is that he doesn't want me to remodel myself on Jeff Lucas. The truth is actually he wants me to be the best version of Tim Dunning that I can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I might not be the most trendiest person in the world, and I might not have the greatest clothes, as Hannah will testify to me when she comes to the table. I might not have the congregation stitches and laughing and rolling around because I'm an incredible human, but what I can do and what I can be is I can be the best Tim Dunning for God. I can give my experiences and my heart, and I can share that with you guys. See, God's put a unique gift inside each and every one of us. God's put personalities, put experience. He's put stories in each side of every one of us. And Psalm 139 talks about how God intimately created you guys. Yeah. He intimately created me. He intimately created it. He knows every little part of us, and he designed you to be the way that you are. So maybe tonight, the reality check for us is that we need to check with ourselves, and we need to stop trying emulating. We need to not try and create this authentic Tim Dunning. Or authentic, whoever that might be, put your name in that place. Maybe tonight what we need to try and do is actually be the Jesus Christ shaped Tim Dunning.
Yeah.
Okay? So, and how do we get that? How do we get to that? So the only way we can do that is by spending time with Jesus, allowing Jesus to mold us, allowing Jesus us to be authentic Christ shaped for him. See, this only comes through the more time we spend with him. So are we in the Word? Are we learning about him? Are we allowing the Word to shape us? Are we allowing the Word to teach us? Are we on our knees and we're praying to him and kind of saying, look, God, smooth my edges. Take away, prune the things that I don't need because I want to be the best version of me. See, God doesn't want me to be a mini version or doesn't want us to be a mini version of each other. He wants me to be the best version of me. He wants you to be the best version of you, so we can all be the best that we can be. So that's point one. Point two, we have to get a lot quicker. We've got 8 minutes, 9 minutes left. Point number two, so we need to get real with each other, okay? So, and I think this can be one of the most difficult things, to be authentic with each other, to be real with each other. Now, I don't know about you, and this might be a man thing, or this might be a Yorkshire thing, or this might be just a Tim thing. But when people ask me, when people rock up to me and go, so how are you doing? I always have this natural response, not bad. Yeah? Do other people do that? I mean, it's a Tim Dunning. All right, it must be a Tim Dunning. Like my arm could be hanging off and I could be limp and I could just be knocked over by a double decker bus and somebody rocks up and says, how are you doing? I go, not bad. Yeah, I'm all right. See, why do we do that? It's just, why do we respond like that? Maybe it's just me. But you see, I think there's a part of us that doesn't want to admit that we're struggling, or sometimes that we're going through hard times, and we feel we have to kind of get through circumstances in life and do things on our own. This is my problem. So no one wants to hear about the stuff that I'm going through. No one wants to hear about my difficulties. Or that we're struggling. It looks like we're struggling, or that we're weak and we can't handle stuff. But if that was the case, then God would not create a church. God not would create people around us. Thessalonians 5 verse 11, it talks about, well, it's been there, I guess, for a while. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So, and that's the constant theme around what Paul's talking about, the early church. He says, the church is there to, see, this is God's big plan. This is God's part of how we do life together. Is that we have to be real and we have to connect with each other. See, God puts us in relationships for a reason. He thought about church. He designed church. He planned church. And this is the reason I absolutely love it. I love being here with you guys. I love being involved. I love doing life together because he builds us for relationships.
Yeah.
For encouragement, for us doing life together. So if we're not real with each other, then how can we support each other? If we're not prepared to say, Chris, I'm struggling this week. I need you to get alongside me. I need you to pray. If we're not real with each other, if we're having those troubles and we're not prepared to kind of speak with each other and be honest, then we can't support and we can't help. And I truly believe that church works better when we're real and when we're not hiding and we're not pretending. So let's be prepared to be brave enough to have those conversations, but let's also be prepared to be brave enough to walk up to that person and say, can I help you? Is there anything you're struggling with? Can I pray with you? Let's have that, because it does take courage, because it's not the everyday thing that you would do. So let's be brave enough, let's be real enough with each other. And this isn't just for inside the body, this is for we have to be real with people out there as well. I was chatting to Kerry, and she's got a friend that she goes to the gym with, and they were talking about life and about our situations, probably kids related stuff and all this kind of stuff, and all the struggles and the difficulties and the hardships that Kerry was going through with the kids, and her friend was like, yeah, but you're a Christian, you shouldn't have those kind of things. Is it not all sorted for you? And she's like, well, no, because this is real life. This is what happens. This is. And the best testimony that you can have is you can actually share your experiences of how you do real life to how you do with Jesus. Yeah. And that how that is different and how that impacts and how he works through you and your relationships to help you get through those things. Yeah. And the difference between you and the difference between somebody out there is Jesus and the church are there to support you and to take you through these things. Yeah. So let's be real with each other, guys. Because our one-liner is our mission statement is real people, connecting real people with a real God in real life. Yeah. And you can't do that if we're not real with each other in this building first. Yeah. Yeah. Point number three is let's get real with God.
Yeah.
Okay, see, Jesus wasn't afraid to get real with God. See, if you look at the Jesus' journey and go right to the end of his journey, and just before he's been arrested, he's in Garden of Gethsemane. And this is one of the most difficult times that Jesus found himself in. Okay, so he's in Matthew 20:26, it's the verses are going to come up on here. And it talks about, I'm here, I'm not there. What we're laughing at? What
was the one?
I know, I'm sorry guys, I will fix it next time. I must have super strong glasses on when I was preparing this. So, Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, when I can find it in my even smaller Bible, it says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. See, this is Jesus in one of the toughest times of his life, in one of the most difficult times, and he's pleading with God, and he's there saying, look God, I'm struggling, I'm out of my depth, I don't know how to go any further, I don't know what I can do. And you know what, in this moment, Jesus has been completely real with God. He's been completely real with his Father, and it's okay. It's okay to call out to God. It's okay that we can say to God we're struggling. It's okay to God we can get on our knees and say, I don't know how to go any further in this situation. See, God knows us, every single part of us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what makes us laugh, what makes us cry, what makes us happy. He knows everything. I mean, the Bible says that even before a word is on your tongue, God knows what you're going to speak. He knows every hair on your head. So it's okay sometimes to rant at God, to turn around and say, Lord, I can't cope and I don't know if I'm strong enough. And I'll be completely honest with you. I'm running for time. Okay, I've got a minute or two. So when I was preparing my sermon today, I kind of had this ranting moment at God, because I got to the stage where I was just so much stuff going on in a moment, whether it be work, church, life, illness, health, family, all the kind of stuff that you get battered with. And I was trying to find something that I wanted to share with tonight, and I was really struggling. So I did the thing that I promised myself I never should do. And I went to Google. And I went, best sermons ever, 15 minutes. I put it to Google. And I went, right, what are we going to do? And I was like, and I was strewing me through. And I was, it's like nothing was working. And I was like, right, running out of situations. I went to my little black book and went, so what can I talk about? What can I talk about? What can I talk about? And there was nothing there that was kind of sinking in and I was getting inspiration from. And I went on all to the started listening to all the audio things and started trying to listen to sermons and going back to sermons, just thinking, come on, I just need some inspiration here. And then in the end, I was chatting to Kerry about it, and I was just kind of saying, I'm just really struggling at the minute. I don't know how this. She says, well, you know what you need to do? Just go away, relax, and just talk to God and just tell him what you're feeling and just pray about it. And I did that. And as I was doing that, I just felt God just really like hit me right in the middle of the chest. And he just went, Tim, be real. Yeah. Be real with me. Tell me about what's going on. And not just because, not just in the sermon, but not for sermon prep, but just everything. What's going on? Why are you struggling here in work? Why are you struggling here with life? Why is all that stuff getting in your way? You're just not talking to me about it. And I really felt convicted by the Spirit just to kind of start being real again with God. Because it's so easy for us just to get caught up in the busyness of life and then forget to be real with God. Mm-hmm. Forget to take it back to God. Forget to speak to God and constantly be in that communication with Him. So I've gone a bit off piece there, so. So church, sometimes we get so caught up in the busyness of life that we forget to include God. We forget to get in front of Him. We forget to get on our knees. We forget to say, God, I'm struggling. I need you to be in control. See, but when we do, I can absolutely guarantee that He responds. He responds every time. Let's look at what happened and how He responded to Jesus. He said, if we skip to the next verse, and this is Luke's version of this, and verse 42 says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but yours. And verse 43, and then he says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. See, when we are real with God, He responds. Yeah. See, He is wanting to strengthen us. He's wanting to put His angels around us. He's wanting to send people around us, put people around us when we can't handle those situations. But we have to be real with Him for that to happen. Yeah. Can I have the band back up, please? So guys, tonight, I want to ask you the question. Are you being the authentic you? Are you being the God, are you being the you that God designed you to be? Okay, are you being the God that He declares that you can be? Because He wants you to be the God-shaped you. He wants you to be the Christ-shaped you. And sometimes it's easy to hide away and kind of put that face on and kind of say, yeah, everything's okay. Or you can try and be something that people want you to be. But actually, when we do that, we're settling for the two-stripe Adidas tracksuit bottoms. And actually, God wants to turn around to us. And He wants to give us the full three-stripe, the authentic, the logo on the front. And He wants to say, this is who you are meant to be in Christ. This is your identity. This is the four bells and whistles, Tim Dunning, or insert your name. See, when we're not real with ourselves and with others, actually what we're doing is we're not just robbing us of kind of everything that God's got for us. Yeah. We're actually robbing those around us as well, because we're not giving them the full God potential in us that through us that God can have in their lives. But more importantly, we're limiting God to step in and make the difference. So tonight's challenge is just, church, can we be the real version of us? Can you be the real version of you? The authentic version of you? The God version of you that He created you to be? Okay, I'm just going to pray for us before I hand back to these wonderful guys. So Father God, I want to thank You that each and every one of us, You know everything about us. You know us from head to foot, from top to bottom, Lord God. And I want to pray, Lord, that You would help us to find how we release that authentic us, how we can be the authentic us that does life in the way that You want us to do life, Lord Jesus. Father, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would come in and that You would point out the areas that we might need to be real with ourselves, real with each other and real with you, Lord God, that we can just then go to the next level in you, Father. Yeah, we ask this for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That's great, that's it. It's really good.